Amen. This morning, before we get into worship, I want to read to you a passage from Revelation. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was a 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches and wisdom and strength, honor, glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Lord Jesus, we're here today to give you all the glory and all the honor. And we declare and decree in this house today, you are King, and you are our soon coming King. And so we set our eyes on you to worship the Lamb of God, who was and is to come. And all God's people said, Amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I met you. I was breathing the night alive. All my failures I tried. It was my time till I met you. Oh, man. pray. I can't hold back my praise. I can't hold back my praise. I can't hold back my praise. I can't hold back your praise. I can't hold back your praise. positions your name. And the angels cry.
Jesus, you will always be holy forever. We love you. We honor you this morning. You deserve all the glory and all the praise. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Greet someone on the way down.
Two quick announcements today. Wednesday night is week 5 of our Bible study. You only have one chapter, chapter 16. So that is this Wednesday, and then we have one more after that. Next Sunday from 9:15 to 9:45 is Donut Day. Once a month, first Sunday of every month, we have donuts and coffee over there. It's short, but it's a little bit of time of fellowship. So you're invited to that, 9:15 to 9:45. I want to read you a scripture today. You don't need to open there. I'll just read it. It's in Galatians. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Today we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. The redemption that he brought for us. But too often people only think of that redemption as I'm going to heaven. But the redemption included a lot more than just getting by and getting to heaven when you die. Yes, it includes spiritual life that defeats spiritual death. But it also includes, here it talks about, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So when Adam sinned, the curse came in. When Jesus died and was resurrected, we were redeemed from that. And the curse of the law includes things other than spiritual death. It includes, the curse includes sickness and disease and physical death. And it includes poverty, lack, and debt. All of those things that Christ came to redeem us from. Because he desires that we prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. So let me read that one more time. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings, but before we do that, I'm just going to pray for you. We don't do that often enough. It says in the scriptures that he will bless those that bless us, and you people are a blessing to this body, and we thank you for it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that it says when we bring all the tithes to the storehouse, that the devourers are rebuked, but the windows of heaven are open and pouring us out a blessing. Father God, this is a good people, a faithful people. Yes. Father, bless them exceedingly, abundantly, above all that they might ask or think. We thank you, Jesus, for what you did, for the full redemption that you have put in place for us to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you can go ahead and receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
Amen. There'll be a day if you want to sit in here, you'll have to come early. So prepare yourself for what's coming. Amen. Amen. I had a message. You know, Easter is always a time, I don't know how other ministers are. To me, sometimes it's overwhelming because of all the revelation and all that Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection. And the middle of the week, you know, I thought I was going to go one direction, and now I'm going another direction. And I can see the purpose for this. And as I was praying, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart two words. You want to know what those two words are? Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. When it comes to the things of God and spiritual matters, how many of you can make it more difficult than it needs to be? That's human nature. Amen. Pastors are no different. You can make it harder than it needs to be. Our Heavenly Father did not intend to make our Christian walk difficult. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 states, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Amen. Here's some examples of this is easy. Love your enemies. Forgive and you will be. Seek and you will. Knock. Ask. Amen. Let your light so shine before man. Simple, simple directives. If we just would heed those directives and do them. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 16. "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed." Well, you would be too. "But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Here are the two words that I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to the church today. Are you ready? Go tell. Go tell. Say it. Go tell. How hard can it be? Go tell. Who's supposed to go? We are. Who's supposed to tell? We are. Amen. Matthew 28 and verse 7, it says, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Now here's a spiritual truth. A revelation of a truth will motivate you to act upon that truth. Revelation of a truth will motivate you to act upon that truth. How many, when you got saved, what did you do? Go told all your unbelieving relatives. How about when you got filled with the Holy Ghost? Did you run and hide, or did some of you just... I can remember sharing it with a relative of mine, and he just tore into me. And I went home and cried. I was taken back that I told him what had happened and what God was doing in this hour, and all he did was come against me. So if you gain insight and revelation and understanding of a truth, you're motivated to go tell, aren't you? Amen. How many have ever been healed? What do you do? you go and tell. How many have been blessed financially? God came through financial miracle. What do? You go and tell. When you know who you are in Christ and the authority that has been delegated to you through his death, burial, and resurrection, you'll be bold to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to answer five questions. We're going to talk about this simple word, go, today. Who goes? Why do we go? Where do we go? How do we go? What can we expect when we go? And when do we go? Let's look at who goes. What's the name for the church, the Greek name for the church? Ecclesia. Thank you. What's that mean, Dustin? The called out one. Say, I've been called out. See, the local church is a body of individuals who have been called out, sent forth, and separated for the purposes of God. How many of you believe that? We have on our mission statement out there, Harvest Church, a people committed to serving and sharing Jesus Christ. I want to give you a little bit of information from Rick Renner in his book on Ecclesia. He says this, God never intended for the local church to simply be quiet, a hidden body of believers. Rather, he intended for a church to be his voice. Now listen, this is good, Tony. And ruling power in each community. Let me say that again. He intended for a church to be his voice and ruling power in the community. A special assembly comprised of people who've been called out to make decisions that will impact the atmosphere of their local environment for God. What are we doing here at Harvest Church? Just that. Therefore, when the New Testament used the word ecclesia to depict the local church, it is conveying an incredibly important message right before, from the start. God's plan for each congregation was not that they hide and cower in fear, but rather that they rise to a position of power and influence in the place where God had called them to fulfill their specific assignment for their region. Let that sink in. The church was intended to be a brilliant beacon of light in the midst of dark and troubled towns, cities, and regions. Did you hear that? What are we? A brilliant beacon of light. The believers in the early New Testament church, were suffering terribly as a direct consequence of persecution. Church meetings had to be conducted in secret because swift retribution would be brought upon them if their actions were ever made known. Yet despite the fact that these believers were suffering immensely, forced to meet in secret, Christ still acknowledged them for who they were, his ecclesia, called out from the world and separated to exercise spiritual power over the bleak and seemingly hopeless atmosphere that surrounded them. Regardless of how dark and oppressive the situation seemed to be, or how much these believers struggled, it didn't change Jesus' view of them. They were his precious appointed ecclesia, his governing body in their respective towns, cities, and regions. And that is still how Jesus views the local church. Yeah, it is good. Each body of believers has its own specific assignment, and each believer is assigned to a specific ecclesia. You are called to a church. People through the years have said something about, you know, I'm going to try this church. I'm going to, you know, attend this church, see what it's like. Take time to pray and ask God where you're called to go to church. Amen. All local bodies fit within a larger common purpose, that of furthering the kingdom of God on this earth by equipping the saints and being an influence of God's truth and righteousness to a lost world. So I'm called to an ecclesia. That's right. That's right. See, there's no excuses. Moses had an excuse. I won't have you turn there. He told God, I have a speech impediment. What did the Father say? Go I will be with your mouth. There's no excuse why you can't be the church, why I can't be the church. Well, I don't have the education. I'm like Moses. I fumble over my words. I don't come from a very good background. In fact, I've been in jail. Well, that's all right. Most of my church has. So what? Those are the ones that God uses. Look at Peter. Look at the rest of those disciples. Rough and tough fishermen. No excuses. Matthew 10 verse 19 says, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour that you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. In the days ahead, when you're called to do something and to say something, remember that. It's the Spirit of your Father that speaks through you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm telling you today, Harvest Church, it's time for you to rise up to be the church. Gone are the days of coming to church just to hear a nice little fluffy message. Tickle your ears. Make you feel good for about 24 hours. No, you're coming to this church. This is your spiritual boot camp. Let that sink in. What's a spiritual boot camp? It's where it prepares you to go tell, to go out. Amen. 1 Peter. What did I tell you? I don't even remember. Chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Say, I'm the called out one. Why do we go? Why do we go? Well, number one, it's a command. It's not a condition. It's a command. You and I are commanded to go. Say, go is a commandment. Whether you feel like it or not, some days I wake up, guess what? I don't feel like a preacher. Thoughts that I have, my God, I'm a preacher, and I've got these thoughts the enemy's speaking to me. You walk by faith and not by sight. You and I got to go whether we want to or not. You can stay home. See, that's why the Bible calls the present group of believers in this nation, they're called the remnant. This is a remnant church. And I mean that by that, the remnant is the ones that will obey the commandment to go and tell. While others in other churches are singing their three hymns, giving their ritualistic confession, and then moving on. That's not the church. The church is a group of people that are called to go out and share the gospel. This is not, and I'll give you a forewarning, this is not a user-friendly church. Because there'll be, thank you, there'll be days that I'll upset you when in all reality it's not me, it's the word of the Lord. You won't like what I have to say, but it's my responsibility to train you up to go and tell and to go out. We have to get past babyhood stage. The church is full of stunted infants that aren't growing, that aren't doing, that aren't telling. Well, Pastor, you don't know how they offended me at that church. Get over it. Suck it up. Don't be a crybaby. Be the church. Oh, that went over big. I better move on to another one. God is, go is a command that demands obedience, and simple obedience precedes a miracle. Say that. Simple obedience precedes a miracle. You want a miracle? Then go. You want a miracle? Then tell. You want a miracle? Then act on the word. I wanted to come to a resurrection service. Hear all Jesus. Well, you're hearing it. Simple obedience precedes a miracle. For example, fill the water pots with water. Take away the stone. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Make the people sit down. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Go into all the world. Commands. Simple obedience produced miracles. I just don't see the miracles. Well, maybe you're not obeying. Maybe you're not acting on the word. Maybe you're a hearer and not a doer. We have a commission. Say, I have a commission. Go therefore and make disciples. So why do we go? It's a command. And then number two, we have a commission. We're supposed to make disciples, not converts. What's the church done through the years? Make converts. Get them here, get them saved, and just pray that they hold on till Jesus comes. No, we are called to be disciples, learners, followers of Jesus Christ. The Greek word is M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S. Means to learn. It implies effort put forth. Every believer is commissioned by God to make disciples. You mean I have to do that? That means you have to lead someone to Christ. Then you have to take time. Spend time with them. Give them a Bible. Bless them. Encourage them. Build them up when the enemy comes to bring them down. Bring them to church so they can learn how to be a follower of Jesus. Most people can't drag their lazy carcass to church, let alone somebody else. I don't know about this preacher. It's all truth. You're the church. You should be bringing people to church. Tilden, you get the prize today. That guy right there. I told you I'd bring him. That's what it's all about. Stick and stay, and it will pay. Some won't stick. That's all right. You might get stuck somewhere else. But we have to be disciples. We have to raise up disciples at Harvest Church in the days ahead. And I can't do it all. And I'm not supposed to do it all. You're supposed to do it. She says, I never wanted to be a pastor's wife. But you sucked it up. She's not your traditional playing the organ every Sunday, putting out fires, I'll clue you, she ain't a typical preacher's wife. You ought to thank the good Lord for that, because I wouldn't be here standing here today if it wasn't for her. Because I've felt her boot my butt more than once. We have a commission. Also, we're ambassadors. Here's 1 Corinthians 5:20. We're sent forth and temporarily stationed here as the fully authorized representatives of Jesus Christ. As his ambassadors, we are here to be his voice and his will, a true representation of who he really is. As his official representative sent here to do his business, we are fully backed up by all the power and resources of heaven. So when you go and tell, you need to understand you're being sent as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And all of heaven's power is backing you up. Let that be a revelation to you. When you go out, you don't have to go out in your own strength and your own power. You can know that your God is quite able to anoint you and give you the ability to do what he's called you to do. I'll never forget the first time I stood behind a pulpit. I was shake. I was nervous. Now I'm shake. It's the anointing. It's his power. It's his ability. And it's no different for you than it is for me. He'll do the same thing for you. Amen? Now, since it's Easter and I only see some of you once a year, I'm going to go for about 3 hours. No. Just lighten up. Lighten up, Lucille. There's no Lucilles here, is there? Where do we go? I'm almost done. Where do we go? Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. When you read that scripture through the years as a Christian, especially a young believer, go into all the world, do you think, I've got to go to Africa? When all reality, you're called to Stanton. Elgin, Madison. You need to understand that. We're not all called. And the scriptures are so clear because of these two scriptures. Here in Matthew 28 and Mark 16, it says, go therefore make disciples of all the what? Nations. In the Greek, that describes Gentile nations, people from every culture, custom, race, or color. Do you know how many of you... different cultures are represented here. I went into Merchants to get a candy bar yesterday. And there behind the counter was the employee. I just yawning. He was Indian, from India. I looked at him and I said, quit yawning. I do that to people. The boys always growing up, they, Dad, don't say anything. I said, quit yawning. And he just perked right up. How many... Indians. What else? Cubans. Hispanics. Asian. Or right here. Yeah, there's Germans. I live with a German. I'm ready to go to another minority. No, I'm just kidding. Some days, folks. But you need to understand... you don't have to go far. When Caleb and Kaylee went to New York, how many, Caleb, different cultures? 70 in that melting pot where they went to hand out food. In Mark 16, it says, go into all the world. That's cosmos. That's K-O-S-M-O-S. That means the system here. What we deal with, the world system, the seven mountains. What do you got? I don't know if I can name them all. Entertainment, political, government, education. And who's the God of this? Satan. That's why he's influenced those seven mountains in its time, and it is, you're going to see it, the remnant, the body of Christ is going to take them back over. In Jesus' name, I believe that. So, you're not all called to the world, but you are called, are all called to the nations, but you're all called to the world, this system that you deal with every day. So you need to ask yourself, who am I called to reach? Say that right now. Who am I called to reach? How do we go? How do we go? That's number four. Number one, you need to keep your life in balance. Say, keep your life in balance. John 10:9, it says, I'm the door. Jesus said, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Say, go in and out. Going in refers to spending intimate time of fellowship in prayer and worship with the Father. This is where he gives us our instructions before we go out, which speaks of service to others. You have to have them both. But folks, you'll never be successful unless you go into the local church and you get grounded in the Word. You find out you have a gift, and then you go out. We are to go in first for the message and then go out with the message. Say that. Go in first for the message, then go out. You came in this morning. What did you get? What are you going to go out? Tell. It's that simple. How do you go out? Remember Israel, how did they go out? How did they leave Egypt? It says they went out with boldness. Say boldness. Isaiah 55:12 says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. It doesn't say you'll go out complaining and whining, which is most of the church right now. Oh, there's an eclipse. Bury your head. Get the basement. The world's coming to an end. No, it's not. No, it's not. Well, a bridge collapsed. Well, build it again. Too many Christians are afraid right now. I hope you're not. Go out with boldness. Go out with joy. Go out with peace. Judges 6, how many remember Gideon? I'm almost done. Where was Gideon? Typical church member today. What was he doing? Where was he located? Below ground, in his bunker storm cellar, because there was an eclipse coming. He had a visitation, didn't he? Angel said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? I'm saying, Harvest Church, go in this might of yours, and you shall save this nation. Why? Because you're sent. You are sent one. Number five. What can we expect when we go?
Failure.
Yeah, you're going to have persecution. Was Jesus persecuted? Was Paul persecuted? Were the other disciples persecuted? All the great men and women of God through the centuries persecuted? How many of them saw great miracles, though? Mark 16, look at that. Mark 16. All this, I'm saying all this today, and I always wonder if it's enough. I hope you get something. There's just two words I want to leave you with today. Guess what? What are those two words? Go tell. Go tell. I like short. I like brevity. One time years and years ago, we had an acronym. You remember? There was an acronym for Harvest. It was back there in the corner. It was a poster board. It had H and A and R and V, E, S, T. And the last one, I'll never forget this. I was taking a walk south, and I was thinking about, the last one was time. And I was going to minister on time is short. And it occurred to me, I'll make an impression. So I got up here after worship, and I said, the message is, time is short. Thank you. God bless you. You may leave. There were people offended. One person who was a leader in this church was offended that I said, time is short, and then dismissed everybody. But I bet a lot of those people never forgot it. I could do that. Should have done that today. No. Go tell. Why? Because time is short. Mark 16, it says, and you know it well, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these what? Signs. That's the supernatural power of God. And these signs will follow those who believe. Let me say it this way. And these signs will follow those who go and tell. Yeah, you need to believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. And they will what? Recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word. The Lord working with them. See, those whom God calls, he equips. He will enable you. He'll give you the anointing to do what you need to do. And there will be signs. How many of you want signs to follow you? Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want this to sink in, folks. Oh, I like that. The music comes on. That's how people think it's going to be in heaven. Oh, there goes a little cherub on a cloud with a harp. If you'll go and be faithful to tell, go to your neighbor, on your way to school, at work, whatever you're called to do. Kathy said something today that Oral Roberts used to say, expect a miracle. What are you expecting? Some of us are not expecting enough. One word could lift up a coworker. One little plate of cookies given to a neighbor could cheer somebody up and think, my, that neighbor's really nice, and I hear they're Christian. Think about it. What can you do this week? Be really nice to your husband. On the man said, one thing that we didn't answer, one question is, when do we go? That's simple. About 2,000 years ago, we were given a commission to go. We need to go. Harvest Church, there's a harvest field out there. I'm going to close with this. God gave Nate a word. Did you notice God gives Nate a lot? Now he's listening. Listen to what the Spirit of God spoke to Nate. He brought that to me before he even knew I was going to minister this message. This is interesting. He says, too many of my children, this is God speaking, too many of my children think that I created light when I said, let there be. No, I am light. Before I said, let there be light, I am. How can I create what I already was? I didn't. I placed myself into the darkness because darkness never has nor ever will overcome me. This is why you are my body. I have placed you here for such a time as this to be a beacon of my glory in a dark world. I say again for this season, let there be light. I am light. Therefore, my word shall go forth, illuminating not only the path you're taking, but also the path from the world to me. You are a lighthouse. Say, I'm a lighthouse. I'm a light bearer. Years ago, what's his name? Help me. When we were at Cornerstone, called me up front. Mark Barclay. He didn't know me. And he prayed for me. And he said, I see a lighthouse on your church. Then not long after that, Caleb had a dream about, was it Lighthouse, Caleb? Our spiritual roots down and that we're getting bright. Tree, right, a tree. And then Nate came, it's been a while back, and he talked about a lighthouse. Well, God was bringing this back to his memory here and reminding him, saying, Harvest Church, you're a lighthouse. My word is light. My word is in you. Is that direction and dictation for my body, as well as that guiding path to me for the world. Let my light shine forth in this house. That's the point of a lighthouse, to shine out, not to remain inside. Light always goes out. It never falls in. It goes what? Out. So you're going out today as a what? A lighthouse. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you ashamed of the gospel? I'm not. You might not make everybody happy. They might not like what you're saying. Some will plant, some will reap. But you've got to go out, Harvest Church, and be the church in the days ahead. Every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. I won't belabor this or take long, but I want to make sure here, everyone here today has made Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, their Lord and Savior. You say, Pastor Mike, how do I get to heaven? It's not being by being a good person. It's not by being a member of a church. It's not by being a special person. Very simply, by grace, you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a free gift, people. It's a free gift. And all you do when you receive a gift, you just take it to yourself. You receive it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Salvation is a free gift. And the only way, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Jesus is the only way to the Father. If you've never made Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, let me tell you something. You need to, because time is short. I don't believe there's a lot of time left on planet Earth. You can stay behind if you want. I'm going on. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Mike, if I were to die tonight, I want to know I'd go to heaven. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, I'm not going to call on you, embarrass you, but I want to see your hand. If you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior today. Okay, put your hand down. Let's all pray this prayer today. Scripture says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Say this with me. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I make you Lord and Savior of my life. Forgive me of my sin. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'll rule and reign with you in the days ahead. Jesus, I love you. I receive you as Lord this day, as Savior this day. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. That was simple, wasn't it? But now you need to be discipled. Amen.